Live from New York, it's The Gary Null Show. And now, your host, Gary Null.
Hi, everyone. I'm Gary Null, broadcasting video streaming live from our studios in New York City. Today, we're going to learn about the paleo diet and its contribution to irritable moods, depression, sleep disorders. I think you'll find it interesting. Also, for those of you who are looking for ways of battling cancer, maybe you know someone, a loved one, or a friend that has cancer, from University of Western Australia, they're talking about brown seaweed and how GMO foods, mainly corn and dairy, how they turn your intestines into an insecticide factory from Wake Up World. And want to do something good for your health? Try being generous. University of British Columbia. And also, those of you who are following the traditional guidelines for high blood pressure, you're probably taking in too much sodium. Those guidelines are not good. In fact, if you're from Asia and you follow our guidelines, what your blood pressure should be, you're at a greater risk of a stroke. So we'll deal with that and many other things on health and healing. Then we have a lot of short pieces today, but are important. For example, Coca-Cola, it's a scandal. The emails proves they engaged in deception. Coke exec steps down after emails show the company was intentionally skewing the science about health effects of its products. Why is that important? Because with the enormous budgets and the power of their PR departments, they can get their scientists to go on television or radio and say how good their products are. But what if they're the ones who are controlling the science? And that's what happened. I'll tell you about that. Also, from Paul Craig Roberts, goodbye to Western living standards. And also from the issues in the Middle East, Russian President Vladimir Putin reveals that ISIS is actually funded by 40 countries, including members of the G20, the people he's been meeting with, and they're funding ISIS, and he has the proof. I looked at the documentation. He's right. Oh, and by the way, it's nice to be president. President Obama accepted $1.3 million in gifts last year from what country? One country. A hint. They behead more people than ISIS. Oh, and they lash people. And they stone people if you're homosexual or if you're a philosopher believing in anything existential or if you, well, just about any reason they want. And they even do something that goes way back to the early Inquisitions where they both behead you and crucify you. I figured one of them would be enough. I guess they need two. But here's the President of the United States, all friendly with him, the number one terrorist group in the world, sponsoring more terrorism than any other group or state, country in the world. And he gets some presents, including $80,000 in jewelry bracelets for his daughters. Nice to be president. The guest in the second part of our program today will be Minister Tony Muhammad. We're going to talk about vaccines in the minority communities, government negligence, or intentional targeting. Here's the issue. I have reported in a series of documentaries and articles, as has Robert F. Kennedy Jr. and others, that the CDC knew that young African-American children under the age of 36 months had an enormous increase, 324% plus increase in autism spectrum disorder if they got the vaccines. They didn't like that. The scientists did not, so they changed it. They even met. I broadcast that in my recent investigative reporting part one, part two's next week, on the danger of vaccine, the individual ingredients and collectively. And part of it was that a man didn't know he was being recorded. Who was the man? The man was Dr. Thompson of the CDC, who had worked on the studies. And they put all the documents that implicate their study into a garbage bag and destroyed it. Except he didn't put all the documents in. Now, this is a crime against humanity. So I wanted someone who is out there working on this issue to come on, because I believe one of the best ways in the world that we could stop the mandatory vaccines is by having the religious communities get involved with their congregations. So he'll be on. Also, the flu vaccine, we're told it prevents the flu. No, it doesn't. They've lied. But there's 36,000 people dying of flu each year. No, they're not. In some years, it's in the hundreds, and the most was only about 3,000. Normally, it's just over 1,000. Well, how did they get 36,000? I'll explain that, and Richard Gale will be here to tell you the truth about the flu vaccine. Plus today, time permitting, we're going to look at genetically engineered salmon. We're going to look at taking care of our veterans. We're going to look at the data on vaccines. And we're going to look at the 7 biggest economic lies. And also to honor the teachers who still love teaching in spite of everything that's thrown against them. We'll have a teacher on just to explain what it is being a teacher. So let's begin. I have been asked about the paleo diet. I was also asked about the blood type diet. In fact, coming down today in the elevator, one of the tenants in the apartment where I live, apartment building, said, "Gary, what do you think of this blood type diet?" I said, "Well, I've had over 30,000 individuals in different study groups, some large groups. In the hair and skin study group that lasted a year, we had to meet every night because we could only fit 800 people at a time, and we had over 5,000 people get in the study, plus smaller groups. And I've had them all on the same identical diet. Identical. Vegan, gluten-free, and the elimination of all meat, all dairy, all processed sugars and artificial sweeteners, caffeine and colas, carbonated beverages, fried food, barbecue food, grilled foods, and GMO foods. And they've all done great. In fact, we tested this. We took blood chemistries, and we then matched the symptoms they were suffering from and their blood chemistry, and one group stayed on their diet for blood type, and another group was on this vegan, what I call a diet for a lifetime. It's a living food diet, and they did great. The people on the blood diet, not so great. So from actual clinical experience, I can tell you that I have absolutely no belief whatsoever in a blood type diet, not because of an opinion, but because I actually researched it. Then we come to the paleo diet. It's the latest fad, and there's everybody's got paleo foods out there. Again, I believe it's a fad. And the science shows that. The science also shows that our ancestors were not on a high meat diet. First, they couldn't find that. Most of the time, they were on grubs, berries, seeds, nuts, whatever they could find. They would sit and gorge. And they would gorge because they never knew when they'd have another meal. After all, they had no way, early people had no way of really storing food. So you tended to sit and eat. That's one of the reasons that when you start to fast, at the genetic level, the cells say, we're deprived of food, so slow down the metabolism. And hence, when you fast, you don't quickly lose weight because the body is conserving calories. And that was especially true for pregnant women. So pregnant women had to eat for themselves and their developing fetus, so they would gorge. And so when you take the real science of what people ate and our early ancestors, and you see that their genes developed in accordance to the environment they were in epigenetically, meat would be, more often than not, when they came across some carrion or some other downed animal, and would gorge on it. So this whole paleo diet Think again on it. This is Carolyn Wright in Thrive Living. Quote, struggling with mood swings, anxiety, brain fog, or fatigue? If so, you may be GABA, gamma-aminobutyric acid, compromised, an important neurotransmitter that contributes to our overall sense of well-being. GABA production can become severely disrupted by chronic stress and during the dark winter months. Gut flora imbalance, environmental pollutants, pharmaceutical drugs are also associated with lower levels of GABA. Those on the paleo diet may suffer from insufficient GABA too. And while promoting neurotransmitter equilibrium can be an exercise of trial and error, several methods are available which show promise in promoting mood stability and brain health. And one of the first steps is to forego our usual short-term energy kick of caffeine, refined sugar, and excessive carbohydrates, all of which significantly wreak havoc on delicate brain chemistry. Instead, we should focus upon specific nutrients and increase the amount of healthy fats. For example, mood swings. Many of us have embraced, she's saying, the paleo lifestyle as an effective way to slim down, boost energy, and relieve food sensitivities to dairy and grains. But the diet has a dark underbelly that often includes an uptick in stress, anxiety, and insomnia, all of which are associated with low GABA levels. One of the main problems is that high-protein diets severely limit the building blocks needed for creation of the neurotransmitter. As an aside, we found that that was true in all the high-protein diets. In fact, I had many discussions with Robert Atkins, who was a longtime friend, on this very subject. We would tour together and present two different diets. I was presenting the vegan diet and exercise and de-stressing. He was promoting the high-protein diet. And when I say high-protein, at one meal, there were a group of doctors, or about 10 doctors, after this conference out in L.A., and I was the only one who was a vegan. And so I just simply took a look at what they were eating, did an approximate based upon how many ounces the steaks were and the fat in the steaks and the other foods that they had, the creams and the cheeses. And I then had a little discussion, and I said, I just thought I'd share with you. And I turned to Bob, who was sitting on my left side, and I said, Bob, what is the requirement of protein each day? He said, oh, not sure, but we're covering it. I said, no, you're not covering it. You are hyper covering it. I said, you're consuming over 280 grams of protein. Now, because you're not an athlete, because you're not pregnant, because you're not suffering from, let's say, a severe immune condition, including shock, that requires more protein, you would need about 55 grams a day. So you're taking in almost 250. So that means that you are taking in 400% more protein. Now, you know that protein has to be used because it cannot be stored. There's no mechanism for storing protein, amino acids. So the body breaks it down. It's called deaminization. And that creates urea and ammonium, which are toxic to both the liver and the kidneys. It also goes to the brain and can cause brain fog. And also, there's no fiber in it, so it can cause constipation. And we had this whole discussion. And now you've got dairy, which is a highly allergenic. The casein in dairy is highly allergenic, causing a lot of mucus in the eyes. When kids wake up in the morning, you see that little bit of mucus in the corner of the eyes more often than not. That's because of dairy. When kids wake up and have wet the bed, frequently that's a wheat allergy. And when kids have inner ear infections, it's frequently a wheat, dairy, and yeast allergy. Clean up the diet, suddenly chronic bedwetting and inner ear infections and mucus. And you wake up in the morning, you have a lot of mucus in the mouth, especially stringy mucus, which is really gross. That's almost always an allergic reaction to something you've eaten. So clean up the diet, and you don't have that excess mucus. And by the way, if you see excess mucus, you're also going to have it in your intestine and in your vagina. it grows throughout the body. And when it gets in the blood, it can change your mood. Now, I give you that as background because here were all these MDs, one was an MD, PhD, and yet they were having a meal based upon the assumption that a high-protein diet was good. And yet they hadn't done their homework, even the basics. And that's still true today. Now, there are some physicians who are vegan. In fact, I'm filming one next week and the impact on his patients. And so it also happens that according to an article published in Physiology and Behavior, that in laboratory experiments on a high-fat diet, but not high protein or carbohydrates, there was significant lower anxiety. But with high protein and high carbohydrates, you have higher anxiety. And another issue with high protein diets is the release of cortisol. Now, you've heard me mention many times on this program that cortisol, C-O-R-T-I-S-O-L, cortisol, it's a stress hormone that causes weight, sleep, and behavioral issues. A case in point is a study that discovered men who consumed protein, as most men do, in hamburgers, hot dogs, steaks, eggs, bacon, dairy, fish, chicken, pork, they increase the cortisol levels. That means more stress. Those who were given carbohydrate did not experience a rise in cortisol. Now imagine a vegan diet. The basis is a balance of complex carbohydrates, your grains, your legumes, nuts, seeds, starchy and non-starchy vegetables and herbs, fruits and veggies. All that slows down the cortisol rise, maintains blood sugar. As far as GAB is concerned, results from tests reveal that a protein-rich diet contributes to a lessening of GABA activity and immune response. You actually hurt your immune system. You make yourself more vulnerable to infections, bacterial and viral, if you have a high-protein diet. And so we are a country that loves our protein and our sugars. And this was published in the journal Neuroscience. So if you want a healthier brain, better memory, you get off the meat, you get off the paleo diet, but you can have one saturated fat that's really good for you. And that's extra virgin organic coconut oil. And if you lower the protein and you increase your vegetables, you're going to have, and including the low glycemic berries, then you're terrific. And also the L-theanine, T-H-E-A-N-I-N-E, that N-I-N-E is your amino acid, it's been shown to boost the good GABA and encourage a state of relaxed mental alertness, reduced anxiety. The amino acids are found in both green and black tea. You can also get it in a supplement. And inositol, I-N-O-S-I-T-O-L, inositol, helps alleviate depression and anxiety by enhancing the ability of GABA to bind to receptors within the brain. And another nutrient that's very important to activate GABA receptors in the brain is magnesium. And finally, what is called pyridoxal 5-phosphate and taurine assist the enzyme glutamate decarbonylase convert to glutamate from the diet into GABA. So a good B complex would give you your pantothenic acid, it would give you your pyridoxal 5-phosphate and taurine. So that's good to help. Now, we're always looking at ways of helping lower the incidence of cancer, help people have it. This was research done at the University of Western Australia. They showed that a particular type of brown seaweed was affected at dislodging H. pylori bacteria from infected human stomach cancer cells. Quote, the research shows that the brown seaweed inhibited H. pylori attachment to gastric epithelial tissues in vitro. Further, we demonstrated that the Fucus B a secondary fucoidogen fraction from the brown seaweed, high in polyphenol content extract from Pucus vesiculus, is the most toxic against the carcinoma cells. End quote. Now, in lay language, what they found was that with gastric cancer, and almost always what you have with gastric cancer is you'll start off with an infection in the stomach and high irritation inflammation and the H. pylori helicobacter, and that can contribute into cancer. This helps stop that, and that's good. And also, how to become healthier? Try being generous. This is from the University of British Columbia. Quote, every day we're confronted with choices about how to spend our money, whether it's thinking about picking up the tab at a group lunch or when a charity calls asking for a donation, we face the decision to behave generously or not. Research suggests that spending money on others can improve happiness, but can also improve your own physical health. There is evidence that donating time can improve physical health, but no one had looked at whether donating money has the same effect. So they did this study, and it was published in Health Psychology, and helpful people are healthier. So the key is contribute. Now, one of the things that you can do, little things, let's just say you take a taxi cab, you have to go somewhere in a cab, and let's say you give your normal tip. Why not give an extra dollar? Now, you may, it's not going to break you, but I can assure you that the cab driver used to getting, in, especially in Manhattan, some very small tips. Suddenly you give them a good tip. And if someone asks, why am I giving, and people ask, why are you giving this tip? I said, for all the New Yorkers who forgot what it's like to work a 12-hour day with a lot of stress, in polluted air, and with a lot of bitchy people in the cab, all of whom think they're right and all have an opinion, don't care about anyone else. This is for those who didn't respect you. And they just smile. Also, think of what you could do if you just took some time each week to be a big brother or a big sister to one of the kids who don't have brothers and sisters, mothers and fathers. That's very rewarding. Think what happens if you mentor someone in your given field and help them. And I believe that we have a nation filled with senior citizens and who are more than capable with all their skills and knowledge and love to share that with others. And yet we have been a society that has separated people by age. Ageism is just rampant in the United States. And we shouldn't. We should actually value the person the older they get because they have so much that they've learned that they can share with others. Going to some of the shelters, helping out, going to some of the food banks, helping out. So there's lots of ways to be generous, and you will be healthier in the process. And finally, this is a interesting study from Asia that showed that based upon our way of eating and our blood pressures, if people in Asia followed our lifestyle, they would end up putting themselves at risk. And we're talking about a lot of people at risk for stroke. Why? Because we eat too much salt. We eat way more than what we need. In fact, the average person doesn't realize you're getting more sodium in one fast food meal than what your body generally requires for 2 days. So, and that's just one meal. We got salt on French fries. We got salt on hamburgers. We got everything is salted. So get rid of the salt and use lemon juice, lime juice, use horseradish. Use things that will give you a salty flavor, that little bite that you like, but won't give you higher blood pressure. Back in a moment. Please stay with us.
Shoes. We stuck together, just me and you.
I'd like to welcome all of the listeners from all over the world. We're going to be talking in this segment about vaccines with a guest from Los Angeles, Minister Tony Mohammed. In studio, our executive producer and scholar in residence, Richard Gale. Plus, we're going to also hear a reality check about the CDC scientist admitting the data on vaccines and autism was trashed, and all that coming up. But first, just a couple program announcements. One is that I'm happy to announce that in order to support our local station, WBAI, in its upcoming fund drive, I'm going to be doing a live lecture at the New School, big, beautiful auditorium, great environment. And I want to thank Andrea Katz for selecting that. And the lecture is going to be 7 Steps to Perfect Health, all new information. And I don't care what your age, what your status in life, I'm going to deal with everything that's important for you to live a longer, healthier life. I'll be sharing insights on how to help you if you're sick, if you're well, if you're not an athlete, if you're athletic, if you're pregnant or not pregnant, single, couple, old. Everybody has problems. I'm going to address these problems and how each one of us has to take a step in life. There will be a lot of philosophy in it, but very grounded philosophy. And there will also be a lot of very practical information. And I'll be handing out some recipes, so you'll be able to take those home. And everyone will get a free DVD. Its value alone is $40. And there'll be a Q&A after the lecture. The lecture will begin at 7 p.m. next Friday, not this Friday, December 11th. So put it on your schedule. Every lecture I've ever given, over 5,000, has always been packed. So, and everybody leaves with something they can benefit from. In fact, recently we had a dinner for fundraising for the station. It wasn't that recent. It was about 9 months ago. And one of the people who was at the dinner when we were walking, I said, look, let's walk down to Lincoln Center, see if there's a play there we want to see or an art movie. And he said, you have such a diverse audience. He said, I would never have thought. Now, he was a medical doctor. His wife is an attorney. And everybody went around the table talking about themselves and what they do and what they like about life and the issues they're facing. Very positive, but every person had a completely different career. A pianist for one of the major orchestras in America was there, and so we've got a real diverse group of people. So I take that into account when I do my lectures, so I can hit on the issues that can empower you. My goal is to empower every person that comes to a lecture. I'm going to give you the information. I'm going to give you the insights, and they're always fun, they're upbeat, lots of humor, and then answering your personal questions afterwards. And then if there's a place down there that we'll go and have a snack, or we'll go someplace and have some juice, we always like to do that afterwards. After the premiere of my new movie, we had over 100 of us going over and had a juice together, and that lasts another 3 hours of everyone socializing. A lot of fun. So let's help our wonderful WBAI and do it in a way where you get your premium. No waiting on this. The lecture is your premium. And it's only $40. And that's for everything. So, and it's a great location down on West 12th Street, the New School. But you got to call and you got to reserve a seat. All right, here's the number. It's 212-209-2950. Again, that's 212-209-2950. And I'm donating my time for free. Plus, I'm paying out of my pocket, not the station, for the DVDs. And I'm paying for the recipes so that The station gets all of that $40 and can help pay some bills. So let's help the station and help ourselves. A wonderful, fun event. This is the only time I'm going to have a chance to do this because, as Richard will tell you, we're filming every single day. We're working all over the world. Just, what was it, 2 weeks ago we filmed in Denmark, one of the greatest scientists on the planet in Denmark, and now we have a lot of other places I have to go to. So over the next couple of months, I'm going to be traveling all over the world filming a very important documentary that will stay under wraps till it's done and ready for releasing sometime in the spring. So this is my only chance to get to meet with people in the audience and share insights. And I always work on all new material for my lectures. So come join me for a live lecture to support WBAI next Friday, the 11th of December, not this Friday, Friday week. Call 212-209-2950. Now, if you've just joined us, you know that there's a big debate raging. And the debate is amongst those individuals who may be pro-vaccine, most are, but they want to be given some guarantee that their choice of being pro-vaccine is that the vaccines are safe and effective. In fact, almost all of the heads of autism groups where their kids have been affected after vaccines with autism spectrum disorders and children who've died and children who have been paralyzed for life with Gardasil, they are not scientists. I'm a scientist, and we work with scientists. We do research every day. Thousands of articles per year are read by Richard Gale and Jeremy, myself, and others that we work with to make sure that we're looking, are these safe and effective? It's just that simple, safe and effective. Well, this past week, I presented an original in-depth investigative report showing they're not safe. And these are all footnoted with major independent mainstream research showing mercury, not safe, aluminum, not safe, polysorbate AB, not safe, formaldehyde, not safe, human fetal cells, not safe, the debris of bacterial that get through the filtration system, not safe. So then the question is efficacy. Well, this coming week, I'm going to present part two and showing the challenge. I'm going to challenge them on polio. I'm going to challenge them on smallpox, measles, whooping cough, pertussis, the things they say prevented or reversed or stopped, you know, millions of people from dying. Not true. But I will wait to give you the full report at that time and then what their motives are and how they've created one of the greatest medical frauds, if not the greatest medical fraud in history. Now, right now we're being told, take your flu shot because 36,000 people die each year of the flu. And they're really promoting it. Richard Gale has done extensive research on the flu vaccine, and he's here to report his findings. Hi, Richard.
Hi, Gary. How are you? Am I on?
You're on.
Okay, I'm on. This was the report that just came out. It was published by the Health Impact News, stating that for this particular season, that the flu vaccine has only been shown to be effective in 18% of adults and 15% of children. This is even more dismal than last year, which was about 23%. Although Canada, which uses a different flu vaccine than we do because they used the squalene as their adjuvant, we don't approve of squalene. But Health Canada Ministry reported that the flu vaccine last year was zero. It provided zero protection. And in the past, we've seen it as low as 12%, even in the U.S. And that raises the question, well, if we're taking these vaccines for the viral component, then if it's not going to be protecting us, then what are we really getting out of this when you go get your shot? And here again, we're getting 25 milligrams of mercury, and we're getting
micrograms
of mercury. We're getting the foreign DNA debris from the chicken egg embryos, and we know very well that and the CDC has reported this repeatedly, that the genetic debris from all kinds of viruses, chickens are walking incubators of viruses, including different horse leukemias and
leukosis.
There's the question whether even prions, and there's many different kinds of genetic debris that, people who listen to this program and you hear us speak very often on epigenetics, that raises the concern that this genetic debris can recombine with our own body's DNA and create all kinds of autoimmune problems, asthma, allergies, and even cancers. So, The one study I think that is worth sharing, and it's the only really true double placebo-blind study that I know of, was done in Hong Kong, of comparing several hundred vaccinated versus unvaccinated individuals, children with and adults with the flu vaccine. And they found that those who were vaccinated with the flu vaccine had over 500% increase in other respiratory infections. That could be the Coxsackie virus and other kinds of viruses that often get confused or misdiagnosed as being influenza. And for those that actually contracted flu, the influenza virus, it was almost 50-50 between the vaccinated and the unvaccinated. So this was a very controlled study that's showing it's not even just the question of the lack of efficacy. It's also showing how vaccines make us susceptible to contracting other diseases and other illnesses of other viral infections. And this is another question that we need to be looking at more carefully. The good news is that about 64% of adults now are refusing the flu vaccine this year. So the government's going to be stuck with stockpiles of this stuff. Who knows what they'll do with dumping it into a river?
They don't care. 70% of all vaccines are purchased by the federal government, 70%.
Right.
Here's my concern, Richard. First, their statements that the flu vaccine is 18% effective in the last year cannot be scientifically corroborated, and here's why. Because they're not using one group of people who were vaccinated and another group who were not, and taking all of the considerations as equal in that year. For example, let's say that I gave you 1,000 milligrams a day of vitamin C, and at the end of the year you didn't get a cold or flu. I cannot prove that it was the vitamin
That's right.
C by itself. Now, at the same time, if they give you a vaccine and you don't get the flu, it doesn't mean that you didn't get the flu because they gave you the vaccine. You may have taken vitamin D3, which has been shown to reduce infections, including your susceptibility of influenza and cold. Vitamin C, fresh fruits, exercise, stress management. Did you get good sleep or not good sleep? All these are mitigating factors. When you realize that a person's emotional status, nutritional status, exercise status, relationship status, the environment which they live and work in, if you work in an environment where you're surrounded by electromagnetic pulses, which we are today, from computers, cell phones, even towers on top of buildings, now there is in fact, we just shared this article this morning we read, on there's now absolute confirmation of electromagnetic sensitivity. Now, up until this time, they've said, well, it's not true. Now they actually have environmental sensitivity. So if you're around electromagnetic pulses, your particular system may be responding to them with autoimmune reactions, weakened immunity, more susceptible to colds and flus and arthritis, etc. So the entire science behind vaccines' efficacy is grossly flawed. And until we understand that, then we realize there is no gold standard that they're actually using. And yet there are people who take the seniors who take the flu vaccine who have a higher incidence of dying. And also they are not screening the seniors to see do they have a compromised immune system. And if a person has Alzheimer's, dementia, Parkinson's, and they take a flu vaccine, that's exacerbating that because the mercury, the 24 micrograms of mercury and the aluminum in that vaccine, both are neurotoxic. They're destroying neurons, and they're creating more of the destruction at the synaptic level, so the brain has a more difficult time of communicating with itself, and then hence forming words, regaining memories and thoughts. So it's an entirely, in my opinion, it's a fraudulent science. And we've invited the leading people in the pro-vaccine community to come on this program and debate us. And they've refused. And I think the public would enjoy hearing a debate by those who are major advocates and those who question the science.
Mm-hmm. No, you won't get them on,
though. they're not coming.
No, they won't.
Because I can assure you, we would deal with them a little differently, and the questions we asked in some of the other programs that you hear them on in Pacifica, the softball questions, and we wouldn't allow them not to be facing the people they're challenging. They'd have to be on live. Now, before we go to our guest who's standing by, I want you to hear this clip about the CDC admits data on vaccines and autism was trashed.
But just days ago, over 100 protesters gathered outside of the CDC right here in Atlanta, demanding transparency when it comes to vaccines. So are these people conspiracy theorists, or did they have a good reason to be here? I promise, this is a reality check you won't see anywhere else.
There's too much corruption, too much conflict of interest, and our children are paying the price.
Well, it is an incredibly controversial subject, to say the least. But those protesters outside the CDC here in Atlanta say that the information being provided to the public about vaccines is not completely honest. And all of it hinges on one man. This guy right here, a scientist you've probably never heard of. That scientist's name is Dr. William Thompson. And it was on August 27th of 2014 that Dr. Thompson made an admission that got very little media coverage, but it was a major statement. That statement read in part, quote, "I regret that my co-authors and I omitted statistically significant information in our 2004 article published in the journal Pediatrics. The omitted data suggested that African-American males who received the MMR vaccine before age 36 months were at increased risk for autism. Decisions were made regarding the findings of the report at the data was collected, and I believe that the final study protocol was not followed." So I'll tell you the significance of that statement in just a minute, but let's be clear here. Dr. Thompson did not come forward on his own. He released that statement I read to you only after he was secretly recorded by Dr. Brian Hooker. Now, once that happened, Thompson hired a whistleblower attorney, then turned over documents to Congress. Dr. Thompson still works, by the way, for the CDC, and a few weeks ago, I requested a sit-down interview with him. Dr. Thompson refused that request. Even though he wouldn't sit down with me, Thompson has claimed that he's handed over documents about this case to Congressman Bill Posey's office. Now, I spoke with the Congressman's office about that, and the spokesman confirms to me that thousands of documents were handed over. But sources within that office tell me as many as 100,000 documents were actually handed over. Congressman Posey brought this information to the floor of Congress, and what he read there was nothing short of stunning. That authors of the study not only hid the actual findings, but attempted to destroy evidence. Quoting from Dr. Thompson, "The authors of the study decided not to disclose to the public that African-American boys under 36 months were more susceptible to developing autism or autism-like symptoms from the MMR vaccine."
The remaining four co-authors all met and brought a big garbage can into the meeting room and reviewed and went through all the hard copy documents that we had thought we should discard and put them in a huge garbage can. However, because I assumed it was illegal and would violate both FOIA and DOJ requests, I kept hard copies of all documents in my office, and I retained all associated computer files. I believe we intentionally withheld controversial findings from the final draft of the pediatrics paper.
So just in case you missed it there, Dr. Thompson, that statement, by the way, read into the congressional record, a CDC scientist and an author of the study in the journal Pediatrics that insisted there is no link between vaccines and autism, admits that he and other authors of that study left out information that was deemed controversial. Information that in some African-American male children who are given the MMR vaccine, the measles vaccine, before 36 months, did have an increased risk of autism and signs of autism. And that not only did the CDC hide that information, but that the authors of the study threw that evidence into a trash can and destroyed it. So what you need to know here is that there is so much hysteria over this subject. Now, why is it that you have to be all for vaccines given in all quantities at all times to all people, or you're anti-vaccination? You know, vaccines probably have saved more lives on this planet than any other single medical advancement. You might know that. But what you might not know is that all vaccines in all quantities for all people are not safe. Every year, hundreds of children are injured by vaccines here in the United States. Since 1986, the United States government, they have paid out $3 billion to the Vaccine Injury Compensation Program. But raise even one question, just one, about why that is, and you get shouted down. That's Reality Check. Let's talk about that tonight on Twitter.
And that's just one report. I will offer, I believe, compelling actual science to show that vaccines have not saved the lives that it has claimed. And that's where you do your homework. It is in the scholarship. And we have gone back over 200 years of looking at the public health data of different countries. And I will report on that on my next investigative report next week. Now let's go to Los Angeles, where standing by is Minister Tony Mohammed. He is a Western regional representative of the Nation of Islam and a prominent figure behind the organizing of the Million Man Marches. Recently, he's been spearheading efforts to counter California and federal efforts to remove vaccine exemptions and enforce mandatory vaccines on increasingly susceptible children and also helping the adults. And since the mid-90s, Minister Tony has strived to introduce programs dealing with urban social problems in Los Angeles in the African-American minority communities, including peace efforts to ease turf wars by rivaling gangs and put an end to street violence. He has been featured in documentaries Crips and the Bloods, Made in USA, as well as The Nature of Existence, which introduces the world's philosophies and spiritual traditions. More recently, Tony has been mobilizing the African-American minority communities to take a stance against repressive vaccine laws and to increase awareness about vaccines' adverse effects to minority communities. His website is justiceorelse.com. Nice to have you with us today.
Thank you for having me, sir.
Most listeners may not realize that regressive autism in African-American boys is twice that of in whites, boys. And research from Baylor College of Medicine also showed that autism in African Americans is commonly diagnosed 1 to 2 years later than among white children. And we're in an autism epidemic today. It has increased 30% in just 2 years and is at 1 in 68 children in the United States and 1 in 42 among boys. And since I've been personally involved in the vaccine wars for several decades, having directed 3 documentaries questioning vaccine safety and efficacy, I can comment with some accuracy that those best informed about vaccines' health risks are highly educated white parents. African-American families and other minorities, with some exceptions, remain misinformed or uninformed about, for the most part. And now we have learned from the MMR Autism Revelations, Dr. William Thompson at the CDC, that black boys are the most affected neurologically, and African-American parents should be the most concerned and outraged. Yet, in addition to covering up the government science, there's also a blanket cover-up of the media. Very few politicians in the U.S. today, white or black, whatever, are questioning Big Pharma's vaccine racket. So since the time you have taken on the cause to bring greater awareness about the vaccine autism connection to the African-American community, have you discovered anything else noteworthy about how blacks are being adversely affected from vaccines? And are you witnessing that minority communities are at a greater risk of being targeted by health officials to reach vaccination compliance?
Yes. Well, first, again, I want to just thank you for allowing me this opportunity to be on your show. I mean, just the few minutes that I've been listening, just the education I'm getting from listening to you and others who know the science, it's always quite striking to me, because I love information, I love truth, I love knowledge. And yes, sir, this, what is happening, is really, it is of no great surprise to my community, but it is quite shocking to know that autism has ill affected us disproportionately than our white counterparts. You know, that's quite shocking. I mean, the whole autism phenomena, I thought, and my community thought that autism was primarily a Caucasian problem. But it was like 4 or 5 months ago when Bobby Kennedy reached out for me and brought this to my attention, I was floored. And I was quite shocked that our black elected officials have been pulled into this by the big pharmaceutical companies without doing their homework or their research. But I tell you, Gary, since we have gotten this information, and every community, when I travel the country now, introducing this to the black community, it does not bring me joy, because when black mothers get this information, I've seen several of them faint, pass out, become so grieved because they knew something had happened when their babies was injected with these vaccines. But the doctors told them that it was genetic. So the mothers themselves felt that they gave their children something that their intuition told them that they didn't. And now the community is waking up in alarming numbers, and you're going to see a movement among African Americans joining on with the other vaccine movement that like you've never seen before. And so our community is starved for the information. They are starving for the truth. And so I'm about to set out on a 40-city tour. And with Bobby Kennedy and some other scientists, Brian Hooker, and now that I'm hearing what your knowledge base is, we all really need to meet so that we could come up with the best program and the best approach to not only just wake up blacks, but all people whose children are being ill affected by the lies of the big pharmaceutical industry. And so when Bobby Kennedy brought this to Minister Farrakhan, he pointed out that this is a part of prophecy. It's in scripture, where there was always a decree to hurt or harm male children. And I'm telling you, it is really, when our community hears this, it blows us away.
Okay, but Tony, let me just intercede here for a moment. I'm looking not at scripture. I'm looking at the complicity between the vaccine industry that has managed to lobby and get itself indemnified so that no one can sue, even if they knowingly give you a toxic vaccine, you cannot sue them. And it's not easy going through the vaccine injury compensation program because you have to have an enormous amount of proof, and 90% of the people don't have the documentation, though they have the child who's been damaged who is completely normal. So here's what I will do to help that cause and your cause, because I believe that by getting the victims to come together, and frequently it is in the religious communities where you have a sense of community, where you have people who are there to support your efforts as a group, and you generally have some of the wiser men and women within a community heading these congregations who have the charisma and dynamics to take it forward, to hold the coalition together so that you can have protest and you can have boycotts and you can have campaigns to contact legislators. I will send you 37 articles that I've written in the last 3 years on the dangers of vaccines. I will send you 3 documentaries on Vaccine Nation, The Silent Epidemic, which just came out last year, and Autism Made in USA. I'll send you those so that you can share those in a community. And then I'll also give you a list of the physicians who are very articulate, that if you need someone to come in and testify, we have at least 31 physicians, all board certified, who can come in and present the case that there is no science supporting vaccinations. There is science supporting not to vaccinate, and that's one of the biggest problems we've had, because some of the groups where people have been injured, a lot of people, and some of these groups have a million people who've come to them, according to one of the people who runs a group, who told me that at a film festival just last year that we were talking. And yeah, we have had over a million people. Well, think of how many more millions of Americans, we're not talking about hundreds now, we're talking about millions, who have been impacted negatively, but they're single individuals. And frequently, the groups are funded by Big Pharma. And when Big Pharma is paying the bills, and Big Pharma is getting you your guest speakers, then they want safer vaccines. So then the whole idea is, yeah, we believe in vaccines, but we want them safer. That's the game they play. They can't make a safe vaccine. There's no such thing as a vaccine. It's impossible to make a safe vaccine. And we've shown that by what's in it and how sensitive different people are. So, and then the last part of this is, I will introduce you to the Ortegas. Met with the Ortegas recently. When I met with them, the child was going to have to go into an institution because he had advanced autism and couldn't speak and couldn't function. It was too big to handle. And they were both New York City police officers, both African American, she's African American, he's Latino, out of Bed-Stuy. So one had to work at night and the other in the daytime so that they could always be with him. People have no idea how much of a hassle it is when you are trying to be with an autistic child. Well, that child today is completely normal. So listen very carefully, everyone in this audience. If they say there's nothing you can do for an autistic child, they do not know what to do then. We do. So I will share with you protocols and procedures that can help recover that woman, that mother's child. There's a lot we can do, so they do not have to bear the burden of guilt and a child that they're going to have to nurse every day, 24/7, until the child passes, and they don't have long lifespans. We can change all that. So that is the evidence that I'll be sending you out today to help you in your tour, and so that whenever you and the others that are out there who may be listening, when you need the help, we have the documentation, the information, the speakers, the scientists. We have the hard proof. We have recovered individuals who are there to help you. Final thoughts from you, Minister Muhammad?
Yes. First of all, thank you. My final thoughts is this. You know, we, in February, we're having our national convention in Detroit. We're expecting over 20,000-30,000 people. And one of the topics that Minister Farrakhan wants to make available, we were trying to get scientists to come in, people like yourself, to speak to 20,000 or 30,000 of us who will go back to the streets. I'm looking for scientists who could come into that convention and do workshops and a huge seminar at our preliminary session, which will have 15,000-20,000 people that we can inform that day on everything that you just mentioned to me.
We will be able to supply you by your conference an entire workbook that can be added to as time goes on and new information comes. It will be able to inform the person about the dangers of vaccines, who was responsible, how it happens, what's in vaccines, what are the alternatives, and how to help people who've been vaccine damaged. And I'll give you a list of speakers that will help you. All right?
Wow. Thank you.
Okay. My pleasure meeting with you.
It's my pleasure, sir.
Minister Tony Muhammad, and his website is justiceorelse.com. And we are going to be helping the group of ministers and out there. We'll help the Nation of Islam. We'll help the people who are not afraid to tell the truth to the scientific community and to the political community. And what's interesting is the old politicians, even some within the African-American community, are so much in the pocket. It is the younger ones who haven't been enticed, corrupted, and we have lots and lots of young, aspiring, idealistic minds who are not afraid to take on the issue. So we're looking forward to this. I'm Gary Nall. We're out of time. Thank you all for listening. Look forward to sharing more on tomorrow's program. Have a nice day.